Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 18. Sasatvamenam parito vipashan Sambhasya madhya anu nirajihanam Nayam vigra napi naro vichitram Aho kim etadri migendra rupam. Saha he, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the daitas, Satvam, living being, Enam, that, Paritaha, all around, Vipashan, looking, Stambhasya, of the pillar, Madhyat, from the midst, Anunir Jihanam, having come out, Na, not, I am this, Vriga, animal, Na, not, Api, indeed, Naraha, human being, Vichitram, very wonderful. Aho, alas. Kim, what? Etat, this. Nrimriga Indra Rupam. The form of both a man and the king of the beast, lion. Mriga Indra Rupam. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which cannot be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man, half lion? Well, we could have been there, we could have told him. Depends who he asked, I guess. Purport. A demon cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. The different potencies of the Lord are always working as an automatic exhibition of his knowledge. For a demon, it is certainly wonderful that the form of a lion and the form of a man can be united. Since the demon has no experience of the inconceivable power of which the Supreme Lord is called all-powerful. Demons cannot understand the omnipotence of the Lord. They simply compare the Lord to one of them. Avajananti mamudha manushintanam ashvityam. Mudhas, rascals, think that Krishna is an ordinary human being who appears for the benefit of other human beings. Param bhavam ajanantaha. Fools, rascals, and demons cannot realize the supreme potency of the Lord, but he can do anything and everything. Indeed, he can do whatever he likes. When Hiranyakashipu received benedictions from Lord Brahma, he thought that he was safe, since he received the benediction that he would not be killed either by an animal or by a human being. He never thought that an animal and a human being would be combined so that the demons like him would be puzzled by such a form. This is the meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipotency, omnipotence. Sa sattvamenam parito pashan vipashan stambhasya madhyan ananirjihanam Nayam mriganapi naro vichitram aho kim etan rigendra rupam. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which cannot be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. and amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudoyam Nabhijananti Lokayam Ajam Avyayam, that I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and inexhaustible. So currently, we can understand Krishna partially. And we, in the human form of life, everyone has the opportunity to understand Krishna at least partially. According to the modes of nature that we're under, we understand everything partially. But Krishna says, sarva dharma prajaja. We have to, if we want to understand Krishna as he actually is, we have to surrender. Now the demons, they're demons because they never surrender. And the devotees only if they surrender. Otherwise, what is the meaning of being a devotee? Jesus Christ, for instance, said, thou shalt not kill. But if one is a so-called follower of Jesus Christ, but he doesn't like this instruction, and he kills anyhow, then what's the? How can one actually understand what Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's doing, and what he's saying? One has to surrender. Krishna demands it. Otherwise, Krishna says that I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. If we don't surrender, then Krishna won't reveal himself to us. Didami buddhi yogam tam. That surrender begins with understanding how great Krishna is, that he's Bhagavan. Now, we can't understand what Bhagavan means because it's beyond our capacity. We have no ability to perceive unlimited beauty, unlimited wealth, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited renunciation. We have just an opportunity to understand something about what knowledge is. Now, we can't understand the unlimited depth of Krishna's knowledge, but we can get a little bit of that, a little understanding, by reading Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the most powerful, I am the most beautiful, I am the most everything. And then he says, much chita, much gata prana, bodhyantash parashparam, gatayantas paramam nityam, tushanti cha, ramanti cha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So to understand Krishna, we have to hear about Krishna from those who at least know as much as we do, or at least are repeating the message of those who know Krishna, or Krishna's own words. So we have to learn how to hear. It's that simple, it's not simple, but we have to learn how to hear from authorized persons, and then Krishna says, we can experience two things. If we're not experiencing one of those two things, we're not listening very carefully. One of them is tushanti. If we're not feeling satisfied, if we're not getting some enlightenment, some direction in life, something that which encourages us, that we know where to go and how to go and why we're going there, so that we're ultimately getting a perfection of life. That's called tushanti. We're satisfied that actually I've gained something that will make my life better, spiritual life better. And Ramanti, those who are actually situated in the spiritual platform, when they hear about Krishna, they experience Krishna directly. They're actually in ecstasy of love of God. That's called Ramanti. In any case, whether one is a neophyte or a more advanced devotee, tesham sadatam yuktanam, Vajantam priti purvakam, tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upuyanti te. So Krishna's first installment is to help us understand what he's saying. First we're hearing it, we don't even know if we're really hearing it. We assume we're sitting here and hearing something. But we never know what's going on in everyone's mind, whether or not we heard anything. Hopefully, at least remember that it was the Bhagavatam we read. And even more deep than that, that it's the seventh canto. And if we're really paying attention, we'll find out this is the eighth chapter of the seventh canto. And it's entitled, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. We can't expect more than that. In any case, the idea is we should be hearing, and if we're actually hearing correctly from the right source, then it should encourage us to want to perform devotional service in two ways, more steadily and more enthusiastically. Otherwise, what is the meaning of hearing about Krishna if we're not prepared to do more steady, enthusiastic service for him? With more priti, with more yukta. And when Krishna sees that we're actually trying to become more steady, more enthusiastic in our service, then he lets us know how to do it. That's the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga. He gives us the intelligence to do it. And if we apply that intelligence, then tesham anupakamparatam ahama gyana jamdamaha nashamyam yatmabhavashto gyana dipena bhashvata, then Krishna personally reveals himself. Not only he gives us intelligence, but he shows himself to us personally. And in that ecstasy of perceiving Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes clearer, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. It's not enough to hear about the sun, or even to understand that there's a sun, or there's a possibility of realizing the sun. Of course, probably not today. But you have to understand, if someone says there is a sun, it looks like this, and you can experience the heat, but you have to go outside. At least we have to make the effort to go outside. We actually want to experience the sun. So Krishna tells us and gives us the intelligence by which we can understand the science of Krishna consciousness, but then we have to apply it within our lives, not just theoretically, but practically. As Sanatana Goswami told Haridasa Thakura, as some people, they preach very nicely, but they don't act properly. And some people act properly, but they don't preach. But you're the best because you're not only preaching, but you actually act properly. So we not only have to know the knowledge, but we have to apply it. And then Krishna will be merciful, especially in this age, if we apply it to understand that we're Krishna's eternal servant, and then apply it for distributing Krishna consciousness to whomever we meet. Otherwise, our Krishna consciousness will be incomplete, because Krishna himself comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute his message, and he asks us to cooperate. So if we don't cooperate, then obviously we're not following his instructions. In any case, we have Hiranyakashipu. There is no way he can understand reality because he's a demon. He understood something about reality. Ukramantam siddhimvapi punjana vaganandvita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes were trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So, although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he was a demon in Satya Yuga. Therefore, at least he understood that he was eternal. Otherwise, if he thought he was temporary, how is it possible he could have fasted to the extent that the moths and the ants and the insects ate his body? Otherwise, a moth would have come along and bit him and he would have screamed, "Oh, this is too much. I'm going home. I need insect repellent out here." No, he was able to tolerate because he wasn't in the bodily concept of life. Still, he was a demon, so he thought he was God. He thought he was the supreme. But at least he didn't think his body was the supreme. He saw it as a vehicle to rule over the material existence. So at least the demons in Satya Yuga, they had more intelligence than the current demons, who are completely in the material conception of life. Although, Both of them are quite dangerous. Therefore, Krishna says, yatanto yoginas chayanam, yatanto yakritatmano, naiva pashanti chetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those who are not, although they may try, cannot see what's taking place. That without surrendering to Krishna, Krishna will not reveal knowledge to us. He will not reveal himself. He will not reveal ultimate reality to us. It doesn't depend upon anything else other than surrender to Krishna. And Krishna being pleased and revealing himself, then we can actually see what's taking place. Otherwise, it's impossible. The yoga systems are all partial methods of surrendering to Krishna. But because ultimately one doesn't surrender to Krishna as a person, therefore one's knowledge always remains incomplete. And ultimately, incomplete knowledge will not allow us to escape from material existence and enter into the spiritual world. Only by accepting our position as Krishna's eternal servant can we enter into the spiritual world and serve Krishna eternally. We have to serve something. If we don't serve Krishna, then we have to serve the material energy. Servants we are. Servants will eternally remain. The only question is, who do we want to serve? Now, Hiranyakashipu, like everyone else in the material world, only wanted to serve his senses. So he's not alone. Anyone in the material world who has no other objective than to serve his senses is exactly like Hiranyakashipu. He just had a better opportunity to do it, but still he was not satisfied. And ultimately he had the good fortune of meeting Krishna face to face, although he did so in ignorance, because he couldn't even accept Krishna when he appeared before him. Therefore he had to leave his body and came back as Ravana. And Ravana was killed again, wouldn't accept Krishna as God, and therefore he came back as Shishupal. Finally, Shishupal got the message. Three strikes and you're out. So he was out of the material world. And he came back as Madhai. Jagai, actually. And then became an opportunity to go back as a gatekeeper in Vaikuntha. So he was fortunate. He took three births as a demon. So we should try to become so fortunate. We've taken many, many births as demons. Much more than three. Therefore, we should try to end our demoniac tendency so we don't have to take birth again and be killed either directly by Krishna or indirectly by his illusory energy. Hiranyakashipu had the fortune of being killed directly by Krishna. We have this misfortune of being killed by his illusory energy, his material energy. Death is there. He had to change his body. We have to change our bodies too. So the only solution is to surrender to Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
If Krishna surrender to Radharani is complete?
It's eternally going on. It's never complete.
Nikad jer je to uvijek se nije nikad potpuno jer to
Krishna is always increasing his surrender.
Stalno se povećuje.
Radharani is also increasing her surrender.
Radharani isto tako povećuje stalno svoje predanost.
So we have to increase our surrender too. Here's Rishab. Or you have to wait for the baton to be passed.
Is Krishna's planet Goloka Vrindavan unlimited in its size, or does it have any particular size?
It's bigger than a bread box. How big is it? I mean, it's beyond our conception. There's no actually limit. It's not that it gets overcrowded and Krishna has to rent another apartment. It's unlimited. Well, just like we're also, where are we? Where is the soul? Although it's in 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size, can pervade the entire body. If you're Brahma, you can probably pervade the universe with your consciousness. So there's no, even a little tiny soul practically has no limit, what to speak of God and His abode. Yes? Did you have a question?
Maharaj, you said that if we are hearing from authorities, we should hear from authorities. And if we get to Shyanticha, Ramanticha, then that's okay. If not, we are hearing not properly. We are not.
Well, we should at least remember what we hear so we can understand, so we can think about it.
I wanted to ask one question because there are some devotees, when there is some certain speaker they like to hear, and then someone else, and they may both be proper authorities, but they don't want to hear. They say, I don't feel.
Most souls don't want to surrender. They want to hear things that make them happy. They flatter them. When they hear something which is going to challenge them, challenge their surrender, they don't like that. It's uncomfortable for them. They want to feel like they're well situated already. They don't need anything else. They have everything covered. And if worse comes to worse and they leave their body, at least they're going to go to the heavenly planets. Need a few nice apsaras there, etc. So they're not worried about anything. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Is there another question?
No. Поможете ви? You can do it, Maharaj. She's asking if Krishna he manifested this universe just for his satisfaction, or what's this? Why is this? Yeah, this is this all just for Krishna's pleasure, or what's this going on?
No, for your pleasure.
She said it's not.
No, Krishna manifested to bring the souls back to God. And that will make him happy. It'll make us happy too. Krishna is not only interested in his own happiness, he's interested in everyone's happiness.
She said that Krishna first manifested this universe and then because he wanted it, and then we came here and
yeah, we had nothing else to do.
Maharaj kaže da baš nismo imali ništa drugo da radimo pa smo došli.
We were just hanging around. Well, look, the universe, let's go. Check it out.
She knows that that we came here because we wanted to be in Krishna's place. She knows that.
Yeah, that's right. Krishna sent, he put us here because, and he created the material universe specifically so that we can begin our material activities and maybe begin our devotion, carry on our devotional service and practice devotional service here, become eligible to go back to God. So it's a chance either to keep on endlessly trying to imitate Krishna or to surrender to Krishna. That's all right. Thank you very much. Krantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.